Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's getting better right now. I've been joined live in studio by a good friend and a fine guest. He's Batman, Matt Rothschild. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and also an author of a fine book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. Matt, great to see you again, man. Hadn't been long, but always great to have you come around.
Hey, Crudy. Thanks for having me back. Really appreciate it.
Well, no problem, sir. Let's make sure we got Matt's microphone up loud enough. I want to hear him loud and clear and sexy. Matt, first and foremost, the headline of the day. Tommy Thompson must be seriously considering a timeshare in Florida down near Mar-a-Lago or running for governor of the great state of Wisconsin for what, like a fifth time?
You know, I saw the headline and the first thought across my mind was, wow, is this pathetic? Not so much pathetic that he thinks at 80 or however old he is that he needs to run again and become governor, though that's kind of pathetic. But really pathetic is to feel the need that you got to go down to Mar-a-Lago and kiss the ring. Tommy Thompson should not have to subject himself to that kind of self-degradation to go down and kiss Trump's ring. I thought it was disgusting.
Do you also find me disgusting for wanting to get out the popcorn and enjoy the show? I mean, I'm very excited as a pundit, as a talk radio host. The idea of Tommy Thompson jumping in, mixing up that race, shaking her up. Well, you know, I get a little gleeful, man.
Yeah, it'll make it more interesting. If he doesn't get in, I think Rebecca Clayfish is pretty much on a glide to win the nomination.
She is the establishment choice, yeah. By all indications. She is... waited her turn, it's her turn, right?
And she's got a lot of the endorsements, and people have lined up behind her. And
she's been running for the office since effectively she left the lieutenant governor's office in defeat.
And she's been doing what a good candidate's supposed to do. You know, she shows up, she gives money out of her campaign kitty to other people who are running for office. She's just been, you know, dotting her I's, crossing her T's. She's got the inside lane. I don't think Rampton is going to come anywhere close unless just it's crazy time. And it is crazy time in Wisconsin. Let's not forget the far right in this state is off the rockers.
I cannot envision a path to ultimate victory. He could, you know, thread the needle and win the primary, and that'd be the greatest thing that ever happened to Tony Evers.
Yeah, he's not
elective campaign.
Yeah, Tim Rampton is not going to be governor of Wisconsin. I'm prepared to bet the farm on that. But he could get the nomination if just the crazy people show up during primary day.
Matt, what about Kevin Nicholson, the handsome former Marine, former Democrat, sugar baby of the Uline family, apparently.
Yeah, Richard Uline's, you know, favorite young man. I mean, he's just throwing money.
Millions.
I mean, I'm seeing Nicholson on TV acting like he's the only guy who ever got anything done. What has he ever gotten done? He's never held public office. What's he achieved?
He has a very nice storefront in Waukesha that I'm hoping might just come available sometime after August 9th.
You got your eyes on that property.
I did look at least from the exterior, and I thought, man, that'd be a nice location for a radio station in Waukesha.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, why he's running again. I mean, he didn't do well last time around, and you know, he flirted with running for Senate, but Johnson decided at the last minute that, hey, I kind of like this gig, so I'm going to run again. And, you know, the E-lines are split. Elizabeth's been supporting Rebecca Clayfish and Richard supporting Nicholson. I mean, when you've got billions to throw around, I guess it just doesn't really matter. But I don't see Nicholson winning. I think the only person who's got a just crazy outside shot if Tommy doesn't get in is Rampton. But I'm still hoping the Republicans in this state are not totally that crazy.
Can you envision a millionaire self-funder, a guy like Eric Hovde. I saw his name mentioned in an article about Tommy Thompson earlier. You know, big ego, one must assume, successful guy. Not a lot of political success in his background, but he's at least run for office before, right?
Yeah, and he flirts with running all the time, but I don't see him throwing his hat in the ring. I mean, Tommy has a possibility of winning. So I can see why it's tempting.
I think Tommy has a good possibility of winning if he's up for the challenge at 80 years old.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure he could win the nomination, actually, though. I think he could win against Governor Evers in that race.
So you think he could win?
I think it's harder for him to win the Republican primary than to win the governor's mansion.
And why would that be? Because, you know, I earlier in the day was plotting sort of a crossover vote campaign on behalf of Tommy. But why do you think you think he could win the general, but would have a hard time winning the nomination in today's Republican Party?
Exactly, because the people who turn out largely in the primary races are the partisans, are the activists, are the ideologues. And Tommy, maybe that's why he's going down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring, isn't that far right. By the same token, that same virtue helps him in a general election. I think there are a lot of independents and some Democrats who are really pleased that he stood up and rose to the occasion of becoming president of the university, stood up to the Republicans in the legislature who kept wanting to mess with what he was doing over there as far as COVID protection goes. And he said, go ahead and sue me. And I think a lot of people said, yeah, that's real leadership. That's protecting the health and safety of the students and the professors and the staff. I like Tommy. He's the old Tommy. But, you know, I don't think the old Tommy works well in today's Republican circles so much.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. My fine guest, Matt Rothschild, he serves well, hot or cold. He's here with me in studio in the Devil Radio Studio, University Avenue, Madison. Matt, before I forget to ask, you've got a big event tonight. Some might want to come out and see you in person. I'm often the beneficiary of your company, but where can people see you tonight?
Bless your heart. Yeah, I'm giving a talk tonight at Madison Downtown Public Library, 7 o'clock. It's a talk about my new book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. I'll be selling copies and signing copies if you want to come after my talk. I'll be telling people why I wrote the book, what's happened since I wrote the book, what I think the threats are to our democracy, and give a little bit of hope, too. We all need a little bit of hope. And then I'll be signing copies. So, yeah, it's room 302 in the downtown public library here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Man, I know you wear a couple of hats, and your hat is the director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I know your organization pointed out some outside spending in an appellate court race going on. And right now, the appellate court, I believe, is held by, I forget her first name, Judge Kornblum. And there is a opponent, and there's, what, $250,000 and perhaps more dark money that's coming to support. But this particular candidate, and I'll let you tell the people who it is, Matt. Damn it, you can't recall?
And I didn't bring my computer.
But. Oh, well, you got mine. So we'll come back to that point after a short
But anyway, break. I think it was the a group associated with Richard Elon that's throwing all that money into this appellate court race in southeastern Wisconsin. And Elon's throwing a lot of money up in Green Bay and in city council races, too. It's just crazy. He wants to buy every office in Wisconsin.
Well, you listen to right-wing talk radio right now, and all they are doing is banging the gong about getting out and voting in school board races. I mean, they see that as the new battlefield, the conservative right. And I'm talk radio right, let's put it that way. I don't know that there is a conservative right over there. But they're looking to fight these battles school board by school board, classroom by classroom. And a lot of it is just predicated on this whole concept. They're sexualizing the schools. They're teaching the kids they're every white person's racist. Well, none of this is really going on. And I hear some of the hosts or hostess, as the case may be, and I'm thinking, you don't have kids in the school. I got kids in the school. They're not learning what you claim they're being indoctrinated to. Man, but what do you think as a political movement, it is certainly galvanizing the grassroots, and it will turn them out, especially next Tuesday in a low turnout spring election. The Republicans are certainly trying to turn out theirs.
I think that's what that's all about. All this, you know, baloney about school curriculum, all this stuff about transgender, and today's International Transgender Day. And it's just disgraceful the way Republicans have been abusing kids who are transgender. And yeah, I mean, this and the big lie about the November 2020 elections, that's how they think they galvanize their base. They don't care if it's not really happening in the schools. They don't care if they know in their heart of hearts that Joe Biden won the election. They're going to keep spinning these lies to get their base out.
Now, Jenny Thomas, Justice Clarence Thomas's wife, Jenny Thomas is apparently kind of up to her eyeballs of this whole January 6th. Outside of some of the troubling text, and when you see what she wrote to Mark Meadows, you're just like, this lady ain't sane.
Right.
But above and beyond that, she is a very activist sort of big lie supporting. Oh, yeah, and she also happens to be the wife of a Supreme Court justice. And he did not recuse himself on the question of whether or not her very text could be revealed to the public or whether they should be shielded through executive privilege. Matt, I know you've written on this topic. I'm going to let you take it up here. What about Clarence and the Jenny Thomas problem?
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely disgraceful. This was a blatant conflict of interest, a flagrant conflict of interest by Justice Thomas, not getting off the case. He was the lone dissenter. He was the only one. His conservative brothers and sisters weren't even with him on this, on the U.S. Supreme Court, when it came to whether Trump's documents should be released as they relate to January 6th. And some of those documents were the text from Jenny Thomas to Mark Meadows saying, you know, you got to move heaven and earth to keep Trump in power. I mean, it was just unbelievable how hysterical she was about this subject and just off the wall on it. And, you know, you can see why Justice Clarence Thomas wouldn't want that out there. But you're not supposed to be able to weigh in on a case that directly involves your spouse. He had an obligation, a moral obligation, and in my opinion, a legal obligation to get off. But there's nothing at the U.S. Supreme Court that tells the justice when he or she's got to get off a case.
Well, Matt, we should know from Wisconsin Supreme Court justices, you know, you can't pressure them by saying it's, you know, morally the right thing to do. That's not going to be persuasive. Not to a conservative justice, not to Clarence Thomas, not to Gableman, not to Prosser. Those that should have recused themselves on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because they were the recipients of millions. And they somehow justified it. I think Prosser's excuse, well, you know, these litigants before the court, well, they didn't give me these millions this year. It was like over a year ago. So those millions, they don't even count.
Yeah, we've got our own problem with recusal here in Wisconsin, and we've got to insist at some point that judges and justices in Wisconsin need to get off cases where they have a blatant conflict of interest.
I insist you all come back. Batman, you included. More Devil's Advocates. Matt Rothschild, my fine guest in studio, World Headquarters Devil Radio.